Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, November 19th, the year of our Lord, 2023. And this is the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. It is the Sunday before Christ the King's Sunday, which means the liturgical calendar is about to reset itself. We are on the brink of the season of Advent. But we will celebrate this moment together, this moment that is also the Sunday prior to our national celebration of Thanksgiving. And I do pray a heartfelt and genuine prayer of blessing over your Thanksgiving day, no matter how humble or grand it is, no matter your travel plans. Pause and give thanks to our good God for all of the good things in our lives, and that feast will be special. And so, speaking of giving thanks, let us begin in a spirit of thanksgiving today. Do what is our custom and practice here, and that is to begin by breathing. By taking in the gift of life, the breath of life. Savor that breath. Thank God for it. It is good to be alive. We are all alive in this moment for a reason. To enjoy God, to celebrate God, to glorify God. So as you breathe, I pray, call to mind those things that you are most thankful for. The people and the places and the opportunities in your life. Those things that light up your smile, that warm your heart. Give thanks to God for all of these things. And in this spirit and in this posture, let's begin together in worship. Let's join together in the opening prayer as offered in your digital bulletin. You can find that right below where you found today's podcast on the left side of the screen there. Just tap on it, click on it. It will come up for you. So let's begin. You, O God, are our dwelling place from generation to generation, our shield from anguish and distress. You arm us as children of light with the hope of salvation, and you protect us by your love. Give us grace to build up and encourage one another, as we seek wisdom and abundant life in the strength of your word and the assurance of your spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from the 25th chapter of Matthew, verses 14 through 30. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing five more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me five talents. See, I have made five more talents.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the two talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me two talents. See, I have made two more talents.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the one talent also came forward. 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. And we give thanks to God for it. Please join me in a spirit of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your word alive and among us. We pray, dear God, for your inspiration, that through this, your good word, we would be encouraged and inspired, that you would cause us to think and to pray, to call you to mind and give thanks for every good thing that you have entrusted us with. And so in this time of prayerful consideration of who you are and how you are in the world, we pray to receive this word, the word that you have blessed each and every one of us with. Save us, we pray, from distraction and misinterpretation. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, and we say, Amen. Well, as I stand here this morning and record the podcast, to the best of my knowledge, Jesus has not returned yet. We are still waiting, which he informs us of, which he teaches his disciples. If you look at particularly these parables in Matthew's gospel, in chapters 24 and 25, the stories he tells, the parables he uses are of a departure, a promised return, and a delay. And so we live in the delay, and we learn, I think, one of the greatest challenges of our faith is how is it that we learn to live in this moment of delay? Well, to help us with that, Jesus tells among the many stories he tells, the parables, we have today's reading from Matthew's Gospel, excuse me, about a businessman who summoned his slaves and he entrusts them with his property. He surveys all of his servants and he finds that there are three that in particular he needs to trust to manage his affairs in his absence. And so, as we read in the story, they're given, he's investing in them at different levels. He invests 5 talents in one of them, 2 talents in another, and a single talent in the third. But all of them are entrusted with a great deal of money. To my understanding, a talent is the equivalent of 6,000 denarii. And if we remember that 1 denarius equals 1 day's wage, this is a significant amount of money, even for the one that gets just the 1 talent. And so, as Jesus tells this story, the master distributes the wealth among the three of them and goes on his way. And they all respond to this investment in different ways. Well, the two that received the most talents seem to also have the most business savvy minds. I think they've been paying attention, close attention to how it is their master works. They know where to go and make good trades, to cut deals and find values, however it is that they go out and trade with this money. Both of them double the money that the master has invested in them, creating significant additional wealth. Well, then there's the the third one, given just the single talent, but again, still a great deal of money. But this one has a different relationship with the money and I believe the master than the other two. This one is clearly afraid of the master and afraid of the repercussions of screwing things up, of losing the money. So what he does is he just finds a safe place, buries it in the dirt, and waits for his master's return. Well, one day the master, after a long delay, he does come back. After a long time, the master of those slaves came back and settled accounts with them. And so one by one, he calls them forward, beginning with the one in whom he invested the most money. So give an accounting for yourself, he says. Well, he comes in to make his pitch. He says, sir, you entrusted me with the 5 talents. I went out and I was able to make some good trades and good fortune. I've doubled the money. You gave me 5 and I've produced an additional 5 talents. Well, as you could imagine, the master is absolutely thrilled with this. He's got a double return on his investment. And he's very thrilled with this servant of his. Excellent work. Very, very good work. You are a trustworthy servant, and you have been trustworthy with a few things. So I know for sure I can trust you with many, many more things and more responsibility. My joy is your joy. Come in and let's celebrate together. And so too with the one in whom he invested the 2 talents, who was able, by thinking like his master, he went out and doubled the money, and the same blessing is given to him. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Theme here, right? Well, then, the one who hid the talent under a mattress, who was entrusted by the master with a great deal of money, but his fear of the master outweighed the trust that was invested in him. And so he sheepishly comes forward with his 1 talent in hand, and He says, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." You can just see this one shaking, maybe not even able to look the master in the eye, and just slides the single talent back across the table. And this makes the master furious. "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? If you knew this, then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And on my return, I would have received what is mine with interest." And then he tells one of the attendants, "Take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. I know where to invest my money and my energy. For all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Ouch. Wow. That seems so harsh and so unlike Jesus. Why does it seem unlike Jesus? Because this, you don't make a direct allegorical connection between this master and Jesus. They're clearly different. Jesus is using this character of a harsh master for a different purpose. Urgency. And to draw a parallel to master and slave relationships that these original hearers would have understood. They can recognize the story of a harsh master who reaps where he does not sow, who takes advantage wherever he can. But what he's getting at, how does one of these servants behave in his absence? That's the previous parable in Matthew 24. Right, those left in charge in the master's absence. Master's gone for a while. Some of those continue to run that household brilliantly, just as if the master were there. Others slide off into sloth and debauchery. And when the master comes home, he finds some diligently working and others carrying on. It's about the departure. It's about the delay and the expectations of how we are to behave, how we are to invest our talents in the absence of the master. And I think the key to that here is the first two are familiar with the master's practices, just like the third one. They all knew that he was a harsh man, reaping where he did not sow, so they emulated him. He showed them how it's done, and they went out and did the same. And for the third, it made him afraid. And so he hid. But to make this more direct, to those of us who are disciples and followers in the way of Jesus, we are to emulate the master. We've all been given talents, some of us vast talents. And if we emulate the master, who we know is not harsh, who practices grace and peace and compassion and charity, love of God, love of neighbor, self-care. And in his absence, if we are not practicing those things, we'll have squandered the talents. And when we squander the talents, when we squander the currency of the kingdom of the heavens, grace, peace, charity, faith, when we hide those in the ground or never take them out and invest them, life becomes dark. It is life in a lonely outer darkness. As we gather this week, maybe you'll gather in a big group, and maybe you'll be celebrating Thanksgiving by yourself. Know this. Make a seat at the table for our Lord. Make sure that the guest of honor is invited to your gathering. Invite Jesus into your make space. If you think that 25 seats at the table are not even going to be enough because everybody's coming over, make room for the Lord. And maybe it's just you on the couch in the front room with a TV dinner. Make a little space on the sofa next to you and invite the Lord in to celebrate the feast, to name the things that are good and the talents that you have been given, the richness that is you. And some people I know are overflowing. They're like the one that got the 5 talents. The wealth is obvious. Skill in so many areas. And some of us, maybe a lot of us, are more like the one that got just the 1 talent. We're humble and often anxious and not sure what to do and are afraid of doing the wrong thing, so then we do nothing. And in the fear and in the doing nothing, I think grieves God's heart. And I pray you will read this actually as encouragement. Dig deep. How has God blessed you? There's a joke that one of the current stand-up comedians tells, and per her telling, she's a terrible cook. No one ever wants her to bring food. And so she asked her grandma, "Nana, what do you want me to bring to Thanksgiving?" And she says, "How about napkins? And make sure they don't come from Starbucks this time." You know, some of us are called to make the sumptuous, beautiful, steaming casserole or to carve the turkey. And some of us are called to bring napkins. But we need both at the feast. So whether you're a person that is called upon to bring the napkins or to make the green bean casserole or the sweet potato casserole with the melted marshmallows on top, it's all important. It's all a part of celebrating the prosperity of God in the here and now, knowing that there is a moment in time that is coming, is promised to us. But in the meantime, we have to emulate the Master. We have to be like him. And that the currency that we trade in is not made of any precious metal, does not have the face of any world leader stamped on it. The currency, if you were to put it in a shape, looks like an old Roman cross. And the way we trade in that currency is through compassion, self-sacrifice, loving kindness, to pray for our enemies, to love them, and to pray for those who persecute us. That what we trade in, how we increase the talents that we've been given, is to read the story of Jesus and to be like that. To believe in Jesus is to attempt to be like him, all the while knowing that he is God and we are not, so as not to get discouraged when we fall short. Dig deep. Think about how God has blessed you. Invest the talents that God has given you in your own home, in your own self, in your family. If you are going to be gathering, what is a blessing that you can offer to those who gather? Or maybe those big gatherings are a part of your history and still a rich blessing. In all of these things, to be like Christ is to experience the richness of Christ. And again, whether you're just bringing the napkins or providing a rich and lavish feast, when you've invested the talents, the great talents and the simple talents, upon his return, the master says to you, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. Enter into the joy of your master." It is good news, to which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the ways that you have invested in us, the treasure that you have given each and every one of us, with the anticipation, the expectation that we will go out and trade it in the community, that we go forth and we live lives of grace and peace and truth and witness. And as we do, the reward is great and eternal, and we walk in light and life, and we can look forward with courage and faith and strength for the day of your promised return, when we can stand in front of you and say, "Look, Lord, look at the investments that I made in your name." And we can hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Help us to inspire our brothers and sisters who are afraid, who have taken this gift, this life, and buried it in the dirt for fear, for indifference. Help us to come alongside, to offer the prayer, the healing touch, the encouragement, to meet them in the point of their need, and to show them in real and practical ways the kingdom of the heavens. We pray for this nation as we gather for a national day of thanksgiving. And with all humility and all reverence, O God, and in faith, we ask this: God bless America, and give us the faith and the strength to live up to that blessing. Lord, you know each and every one of us. You know the ways that you've invested in us. And you know the ways we've done well and the ways we've fallen short. And you also know the things that drive us to our knees in prayer. And so we take a moment, O God, each and every one of us, to sit quietly in your presence, to listen for your voice, and to sense your presence. Meet us in this moment of peace and quiet, we pray. We break our silence. We give you thanks, O God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we ask that you'd hear us as we join together in offering you a prayer that has been handed down to us, a treasure. Hear us, O God, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Dear ones, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so more keenly aware of the talent that we have, the treasure that is our life, our individual lives and our life together, and that we would go out and invest that in the world to the glory of God, our God, whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.